again for Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
You just played the outro, didn't you?
No, that's the intro.
Huh?
It's labeled intro.
I think I'd reread that again, because I think you just said, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to us, everybody. Yeah, yeah. We'd like to thank our...
Yes. I thought that was Terry saying that.
It says Insight with Jack intro.
Nothing?
So apparently either it's labeled wrong or we heard it wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, and I can't hear anything, so... Hey, welcome, everybody. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mr. Perry Hall.
Welcome back, everybody. What, a two-week hiatus, about?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were both on vacation.
Yep.
You enjoyed yours more than I did.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
But. Chuck Rohr in studio.
What's up?
What's up?
The guy doesn't have his mic on. You are a cluster right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the captain of this ship.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I've
been up here long enough.
And in studio, we are thrilled to welcome Miss Josie Guggenbiller Wendell. Hello, Josie.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I tell you what, I've had so many comments about how good of an idea it was to have you on. And I'm really looking forward to this. So we'll just sit and chat for the next hour or so, and you find out about you and what you've gone through. So let's just start with you're a Fort Recovery grad, right?
I sure am, class of 2010. Whoop whoop!
The best class of all time.
She in your age, is she?
Oh yeah.
See, I picture you being much older.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it as
you'll take it as a good
question mark. Good,
yeah.
So, 2010. Name some of your classmates. Who else was?
Some of them. I graduated with Greg Colick. A lot of people know him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of the girls I ran around with, like Alyssa Brackman, Nicole Potgutter, Emily May.
Oh, Emily's getting married on Saturday.
I know. I got invited.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Woof, woof. Congratulations.
That is cool.
Congratulations. That is
cool. So you are the daughter of?
Don and Julie Guggenbiller.
Don and Julie Guggenbiller.
From Sharpsburg.
You are now married.
Yes.
You married your high school
sweetheart. Yep.
And his name?
Matt Wendell.
Matt.
He graduated a year above me, 2009.
Very good. And so which Wendell family is that?
Mark and Tammy Wendell. They live in the Blue House on Sharpsburg Road.
Gotcha, yes. And then you also have a couple of... You're too young to have kids already.
I'm not that young. I'm 25.
But you've got two little ones.
Yep. Jake, he will be three next month. He's my hellion.
He's your hellion.
He's
which
my crazy.
You ought to be. Yes.
And then Maya just turned 8 months.
Maya just turned eight months. Goodness gracious. And I tell you what, you were a very active high schooler.
Yep. Basketball, softball, and volleyball.
Is that right? You know, I heard Jeff Hobbs, who, as you heard, thinks the world of you, but he was talking during the baseball game about what a good athlete you were, and you were a pretty darn good softball player, I think.
Yeah, we won sectionals my senior year, and I was the top scorer in the state my senior year for CYO.
No kidding. Well, yeah, awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I was the boss.
Yeah. So, cool. I tell you what, and you were pretty much your normal average Mercer County 25-year-old.
I sure was.
And then the crap hit the fan to a certain extent.
It did.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to come back and talk about the incident and what all happened right after a word from our sponsors. So, Chuck, why don't you take us away here?
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Brittany, what's all this hype about Wayne Street Market's new loyalty rewards card?
I'll tell you, it's fantastic. Bella Rewards is Wayne Street Market's new loyalty card that rewards you for shopping with them. I got points each time I shopped and just redeemed a few for a Boston Stoker coffee the other day. There are lots of really cool rewards, too, that you can save your points up for, like a free shopping spree.
Is it hard to sign up?
Not at all. All you have to do is type in your email at the iPad, scan your card, and you're finished.
Wow, Britt, that sounds awesome. I'll sign up today at Wayne Street Market in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Winter's over, the warm weather's here, but your car is a mess. Call Hastings Auto Sales now to set up your appointment to get your car looking great again. You can get a professional wash and wax, or to make it look like new inside and out, ask about their complete detailing service. Whichever you choose, your car will look great, and the best part? You didn't have to do a thing except call Hastings Auto to set up your appointment. Call them now at 375-4617.
The Mad Run is coming up on Saturday, May 20th. As it has been for the last several years, it will be at Ambassador Park. Every year, the proceeds go to a local nonprofit group, and this year, the proceeds will go to the Ambassador Park itself. You can register yourself or your team for this challenging event by going to themadrun.com and clicking on the Register tab. Use the coupon code GETMAD and get a $5 discount. And as always, they need volunteers in several areas to help with this fun event, both setting up ahead of time and on the day of the Mad Run. If you'd like to be a volunteer, just go to themadrun.com and click on the Volunteer tab. And if you're going to be a participant, you can even pick a time that won't conflict with your flight time. The Mad Run coming up on Saturday, May 20th. Participate, volunteer, or both by going to themadrun.com. Or just stop by Ambassador Park that day and cheer on your favorite team and visit with your friends.
We're back.
Jack Stogler and Perry Hall.
Back. Perry Hall, that is me.
On Insight with Miss Josie Guggenbiller Wendell.
Hello.
And you know what? At some point, I'm just going to shorten that to Josie Wendell.
You can just call me Josie.
Okay. Very, very good.
There's not too many Josies in Fort Recovery.
There is.
So.
No, there is.
I think people will know.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about, like, your high school days and your family and stuff. So when you got out of high school, what did you do right out of high school?
I went to Ball State. I decided to do a degree in 3 years, so I did a lot of summer school. I lived up at school, Beacon Hill. We like jammed 7 girls into a 3-bedroom apartment.
Oh, perfect.
Just to cheapen the rent, and there was a lot of girls from Fort Recovery, like it was like Jill Pockutter and Megan. She's a canoe now, but
okay.
Just a lot of friends, and it was a good 3 years. I graduated in May 2013 with a business degree from Ball State, and I got married in June.
Oh my goodness! And you know, I would think that words to describe you back in the day was that you would always have a smile on your face, and you were always a hard worker.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I mean, a lot of people have grown up on farms around here, but mm-hmm. My mom and dad, I mean, they didn't care if you were hungover or what. You were getting up at 6 a.m.
It was time.
Getting out the chicken house, and if you were extra hungover, you were changing the mousetraps.
So let's talk about the incident that caused your injury. Okay.
Okay.
Where did it happen? When? What happened? Did it seem like a big deal when it happened?
When I was sitting at home, no. That morning I'd woke up. I felt like I had the flu. it was April, so, I mean, it happens. It's,
yeah.
And so about noon, I started getting these crazy bad Charlie horses, and nothing could relieve them.
Yeah.
So I would sit in the shower for hours on end, trying to get away these Charlie horses. I had my husband take my kid to the babysitter. At that time, I only had Jake, and we had our calf barn, just half of it at that time, and I told Matt, I'm like, I don't think I can feed. I can hardly stand. I can't lay down. I can't do anything. And so I had posted on Facebook, I'm like, what gets rid of Charlie horses? I'm like, I can't get them rid of them.
I remember seeing that Facebook post too.
Yeah.
And I remember, I mean, and we'll, of course, get into the story, you know, a little more, but I remember getting on that Facebook post, like, maybe a couple hours after the situation, and all these, you know, all these likes and, you mm-hmm. know, whatever.
You're like, why does everyone like yeah, this thing about like, Charlie horses?
This is so mundane. I wonder what's going on. And then you just see all these comments,
yeah.
you know, and so, yeah, go on. But I just remember that, like, so clearly and vividly.
My husband, he's very good at getting me to do things I didn't want to do. Like, I was like, my husband came in from feeding that night, and I'm like, Matt, this is just terrible. I don't even know. I can't sit. I can't sleep. I can't do anything. And I have this flu. And he's like, what do you want to do? You can go to the ER? And I'm like, no, they're going to think I'm an idiot for going in for Charlie horses. And he said, well, either go to the ER or stop talking about it. And so eventually he dragged me to the ER, which thank God he did, because I got in there about 6, and my leg had started turning black about 9.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay, so what was the, was there an incident that caused this?
A lot of times this, they call it necrotizing fasciitis, but I have a very rare form of this. There's only been 4 in the United States.
Oh my.
And I'm the only one to survive. They're all like young women in their lower 20s that have gotten this. So they're infectious disease. People were pretty, they looked into it. A lot of it comes from open wounds, but I had no open wounds. They had examined me prior to after amputating, and they also, I know, like, I wash my hands when we're washing bottles. We do soap, acid, and bleach. So if I had an open wound on my hand, I was going to know because it would hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of that. And it's just, it's, I guess it was fate. I don't know.
Yeah. So with you saying that only 4 other cases, you know, or, mm-hmm. well, either were you one of the 4?
I'm 4.
Number 4. I am number 4.
Yeah.
But, and you said it was with, you know, women in their, you know, 20s, something like that. Is that anything to do with, you know, giving birth? Because this is like right after you had your kid, right?
Jake was 10 months old.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of these women didn't have kids. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that had anything to do with it or not.
A lot of, they did look into, because our calves were sick at the time, and we had handed over all of our information to the vet, and the vet talked to the infectious disease guy, and they could not relate it back to the calves. And I just want to say, I did not get bit by a cow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I have had so many people ask me that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had heard you got bit by a cow. I heard that you were closing a gate and you scraped your knee and it got infected. That
nope.
type of thing.
Yeah. No, and yeah. We actually
heard rumors going around about that. Yeah, that's
there was actually the a person at our school had to call my mom, and there was kids at school that have heard this rumor and they were getting scared. So my mom had to clear it up that this is not what happened, because how many kids around here deal with calves and cows that they go home and now they don't want to touch them because this lady lost her leg. No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened.
So it was
an infection,
an infectious disease that was internal.
Mm-hmm. My immune system was so low. Like, I was feeling like a little bit sick prior to, you know, you just kept lugging through work, and whether it was something that, like, my kid dropped a pacifier and I shoved it in my mouth, you know, out in the calf barn, like in the milk room, or if I was outside, or I work at a hospital too. I mean, I'm not saying it came from the hospital, but everyone's around a lot of germs all day, every day. I could have been at Walmart
and
touched the cart and then shoved a pacifier in my mouth because the kid dropped it. And
yeah.
Yeah, and it, they think my immune system was low.
Was just low enough that it let it take over.
Yeah, I'm very lucky that my husband pushed me to go to the ER.
Absolutely.
If my legs started turning black at home, what would you do?
Yeah. Okay, so your husband took you to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 hours later, your leg is turning black. I'm sure that the Coldwater Hospital didn't look at you and say, "Oh, this is you're one of the four people."
Yeah,
So what was that? That transfer, I guess.
I had Dr. Terpstra that night. He is great. He's such a great doctor. I had some bruises on the back of my leg, and I had told him that my legs had hurt so bad, and I was a runner prior to hand. I would run 2 miles a day, and did I just push it too hard, and that's why your legs hurt? And then he noticed these bruises on the back of my leg and asked me where I got them from, and I said, "I don't know. I work on a farm." I mean, you don't know. And so they did some blood work, and that's when he first thought, there's something wrong here, when he saw these bruises on the back of my leg. And when the lab work came back, he thought it was meningococcal sepsis, that my organs were shutting down. So that's when my husband called my parents to let them know what was going on. We originally had brought Jake to the ER with us because not thinking that it was going to be that big a deal. Of course, Jake falls and hit his face and his bus's lip opens and there's blood everywhere. And so my husband called his parents to come get him because we didn't know. At that point, we just thought we'd be at the ER for a couple hours. No one had told us that it was sepsis. I guess because they knew, Matt still had to make a drive someplace.
Yeah.
So they ended up moving me to a more comfortable room, and they were giving me pain meds to help with the pain in my legs. And they had come in after they figured it, they thought it was meningococcal sepsis, and they told me we had to go to Dayton. And that was about 9 o'clock. And my mom and dad were there. They had run to Dollar General, get some, hairbrush, toothpaste.
The bare necessities.
Yeah, my dad and mom came back, and I told my dad, I'm just so hot now. I was freezing, and now I'm hot. And I had pulled my blanket up, and my dad is the one who saw my leg. He's like, what's that on your leg? And it wasn't like that before I put the blanket on. I don't know. So I pulled it off, and it just looked like a giant bruise all the way up and down my leg. Wow. And so my husband went and got the doctor. He came back in. He's like, "You might as well not check your insurance. You're going to Ohio State." So they ended up care flighting me out to Ohio State. And let me say, if you ever care flighted to Ohio State, they have the best helicopters. They give you a window seat. It's the best at night. I flew over all these cities. I'm like, "Is that Columbus? Is that Columbus?" I'm like, "You're going to know when you get to Columbus."
Yeah, you'll know,
And you do. You know. And, I remember getting wheeled off of the care flight. I remember my blankets flying everywhere, and then I don't remember a single thing until 2 weeks later.
No kidding.
Yep.
So, and you said that this was in April.
Mm-hmm. April 3rd is when I went to the ER, and the 4th I lost my leg.
So, there really wasn't any discussion on your part.
No. I mean, they asked me, but I was under so much pain meds, they can't really take your word.
Yeah.
And which makes sense. They had to wait till Matt got to the ER in Ohio State, and thank God my parents were there. So my mom had drove my husband's truck home, and Matt was able to ride with my dad, and Matt's like, "I've never seen your dad drive so fast." And so, of course, they had to get consent from him.
Yeah.
And originally, it was an amputation just above the knee.
Yep.
And then they hadn't got it all. So they had to go back in and make me a hip dysartic. And I'm sure that he could have asked 1,000 questions, but at that time, Matt said, "You're the doctor. You know what has to be done.
What else do you do?" I mean,
yeah.
And time is of the essence.
Yeah.
So it's not like, "Well, let me get a second opinion. I'll get back with you tomorrow."
Yeah. My mom always said, she's like, there was a short lady, she must have been a PA or a physician assistant at a surgeon. She's like, "I felt so bad for her. She had to come out and tell us what was going on." And she just looked like, "Oh, shit."
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I was very thankful that my family, my husband's family could drop everything and be there for my husband. And I want to give a shout out to Kevin Judy. I mean, he knew my parents had each other and Matt's parents had each other and then who did not have.
Yeah.
So he had his wife pack a bag that night and he came up to be with Matt. He was Matt's best man. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Cool. Absolutely.
That is cool. You know, so you, you know, are at one point thinking, this is a really cool helicopter ride.
I did.
And then waking up 2 weeks later, you know?
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
On the care flight there, I didn't know anything was wrong. Like, I just figured, go there, antibiotics, maybe a surgery. I don't know. At that point, you don't think that. My husband, they didn't tell us anything, but he also had a two-hour drive ahead of him. Yeah. He didn't want him to drive like a maniac.
Yeah.
Because... my husband had forgotten something in our hospital, or in the ER room at Mercer Health. And he said, that's when I knew there was something really wrong. When I went back to grab it and I saw the nurse sitting in there crying. He said, that's when I really knew.
So what was, I mean, you know, because with the amount and the time that it spread, what was like kind of your hourly time frame from when you first got the cramps to now you only have one leg? Like, what, when was the, like, how condensed was that time?
I got the Charlie horses about noon on the 3rd, and by noon or midnight that night I was being care flighted out.
Okay.
And that's only about a 30-minute care flight.
Yeah.
So by the time Matt got there, which Matt left before I got care flighted out so that he could get a jump on it, I'd say by 2 in the morning,
okay,
I was being put in emergency surgery.
Wow. That's...
And then... Ugh. And then you So when you wake up two weeks later, at least that's the next thing, and you... remember.
Yeah.
What did they say? You know, what did, you know?
For some reason, I thought I had a stump. Like, I was asking these nurses to put a pillow underneath my stump, and these ladies are like, okay, like, this lady just lost her leg. We're not going to say no. So they just, like, put a pillow by my, like, what I call my stump, but it's just my hip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so much better. And I never, until I really got home, I never looked under the blanket.
Yeah,
I've never, like, looked down to see I had one leg.
Huh.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about now, because I was in the hospital for, like, 2.5 months.
Yeah.
But I never, I guess it wasn't real, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, and you felt like you still had just, you know, your thigh, right? Yeah. So, and I, you might probably talk about this later, but, like, the phantom leg syndrome, that's a real thing.
That's a real thing. I call it... Imagine, like, when your foot falls asleep, but your whole leg, that's what my left leg feels like all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's there all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It sounds stupid, but, like, my husband and me will be driving in the car, and he'll put his hand where my left leg was. I'm like, do not do that, because it makes it worse. And I don't even have to watch him do it, and I know his hand's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and I know it's probably in my head, but it's, they say... depending on how bad your leg hurt before it was amputated is what your phantom pain will be like. And it was, like, outrageously painful.
To have it touch and stuff.
Yeah.
That's I know I'm repeating myself, but that's incredible. But this story, it really is incredible. So anyone listening is like, all right, how many times is he going to say that's incredible? They're going to have, like,
play a drinking game.
Yeah, pretty much. Every time Perry says it. But, yeah, it really is, though. So,
Who came in and said, Josie, this is what the situation is. This is what's happened since you...
been gone.
Yeah.
Or out of it.
Yeah.
My husband did. My husband, he was the only one in the room. And he said, Josie, you lost your leg, but it's going to be okay. And, I mean, Matt, I was in the hospital for 2.5 months, and he missed one day. One day. So if I had to hear it from somebody, it was him. And, I mean, my mom and dad were there every day. We're very lucky that my husband worked at J&M at the time. They had a house up at Ohio State that my husband was able to sleep at. Because for 2 weeks there, we didn't know what the next day would bring.
Yeah.
I went into emergency surgery multiple times. I had 24 surgeries total.
She had 24 surgeries. Yeah.
And so...
And, I mean, so was... So, so how many of those... Of those surgeries were in that first couple weeks. I mean, was that when most of them were?
Yeah, I'd say at least 12 to 15 were in that first couple weeks. A lot of it was, my first one was a above the knee amputation and they hadn't got it all. So then they went in and did a hip disarticulation. A lot of people thought amputation. Yeah. Instead of amputation, higher up amputation. Yeah. I know a lot of ladies I work with, they were like, when we heard you had two amputations, we didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then my right arm had started swelling up. And so that's when they went in and took a lot of my muscle and tendon out of my right arm and had opened up the inside to clean it out. I'm very thankful that they were able to save my right arm, is that they knew what they were looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have asked for better surgeons at the time. Yeah. And then, so that a lot of them were in wound vac changes. They had to keep the area clean. And then I had, wound vac on my right arm. And then I ended up getting a colostomy, because I mean, you're not getting up to go to the bathroom in that 2 weeks, especially. And then you had to keep that area clean. And so, I got out of the ICU about 3 weeks after I had lost my leg. And the one day my husband drove up with somebody else, I had about 3 liters of blood pour out of my colostomy. And so I ended up going back down to surgical ICU. And then I had to have a colonoscopy and all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But thank God I had a feeding tube. I didn't have to drink it.
No. So let's talk about attitude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you are a young, vibrant, sharp-minded 25-year-old,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you're faced with all of this stuff. What gets you through it?
Oh, my. Well, a lot of it is my kids see me as mom before an amputee. And so Jake, I would tie one leg up because I just don't like it dangling so long. Mm-hmm. And Jake calls it a tail. He's like, Mom, you got a tail today. So to him, he doesn't know any different. I mean, he was 10 months old when I lost my leg, and he doesn't know, and I will never know any different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and then my husband, he's very, he pushes me to be the best mom I can be.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't take slackers. Like, I can't play the one leg card very often. I use it when I can, but he doesn't take it very often because he knows I'm better than that.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had raised me that I do things myself. Like, if I get home from the grocery store and I have like a whole hatch full of groceries and that's busy, and he'll be like, Josie's going to be a half hour, I'll be like, I'll do it myself. I'll strap that baby to the front of me and I will get all that groceries in, because, I mean, that's what I expect of myself and my kids and my family. And I'm very thankful that my family don't see me as an amputee. They know I will ask for help if I need it, but they're not going to ask me if I need help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a little break and come back. And this is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn more about, you know, Josie and what she's been through and the challenges. And we'll talk about family and faith and all those things that have that you probably have relied heavily on in the past. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
bowling season is over, but you can still stop out and see Corey and Jared and go bowling. Miracle Lanes is open Wednesday through Sunday. Just stop out and bowl. And of course, there's the great food. Call 375-4274 and order from their great variety of wings, subs and pizzas, or one of their great sandwiches and more. Then just drive through and pick it up. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for your birthday parties and other get-togethers. Stop out and see Corey and Jared this week. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
I need to talk to Tyler.
Which Tyler do you mean?
My brother Tyler. He was out looking for Ralph, our dog.
Why would your brother be here looking for Ralph, your dog?
I told Tyler that you had something for everyone. So he said he was going to look there.
Well, we do have something for everyone with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual. Maybe you should ask your parents for help.
Can I speak to my mom?
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Breakfast with Bill every weekday morning right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com.
1982, Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats opened in Broadway.
Yeah, I didn't look up any of the Cats.
I didn't care about Cats.
Okay, well, move on.
Well, but you can sing some.
That's all right.
You sing that. Sing that.
I'm at rock. Like, rock.
At night and the kitties are sleeping.
That's not the real words. Those are Letterman's.
That was good.
Words to it, but it's.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah. That's better than what Dane Neal could have put on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler.
Perry Hall.
And Josie Wendell. And I have to give a shout out to my sister Jenny. She just texted me and said, if you don't.
Oh, wow. Hello, Jenny. Yeah. And I tell you what, for anybody that would like to
ask a question or.
Ask a question, you know. I don't know whether you can access the.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook Live right now. So if anyone wants to ask any questions, I will I'll ask them for you.
Yeah.
And if you want your name, you know, I mean, yeah. So just let me know and I'll ask. I'll interject.
So okay, so we touched on what we thought was everything that you've been through and stuff, but then you talked about the birth of your second child. So you talk about, let's see, is it Mara?
Maya. M-Y-A. Yep.
Okay. You talk about Maya and her coming and what that all entailed.
So I found out I was pregnant with Maya, like 8 months or like, 8 months after I lost my leg. It was a definite whoops, but I mean, the way the world can change in a year.
Yeah.
I ended up having her on September 6th, and we had her down in Miami Valley just so we could make sure we had a surgeon on hand. That was a Tuesday, and that Friday, we were at home. We just got home with our new baby, so everything was exciting, and Matt's parents had stopped in. I had a neighbor stop in like an hour beforehand, and they were visiting with us, and all of a sudden I felt like a warm gush, and I thought, oh God, I peed my pants with Matt's parents here. And so I went back to the bathroom real quick, and I had pulled off, like, you know, the big blue maternity pants, I know, and it was like a cereal bowl just filled with bright red blood. And thank God, like, we put our kid, like, Jake in the stairs when he's bad. It's just an open stairwell. He has to sit there by himself. Thank God Jake was being bad at that time, because I wasn't about ready to yell across the house for Matt to go talk to me. But Matt was bringing Jake back there, and I asked him to come back, and Matt says, I don't think that's what it's supposed to be like. And I had told him, I'm like, well, just give it a couple minutes. I'm like, you've never had a baby. You don't know what it's looked like. And he's like, nope, I'm pretty sure that's not what it's supposed to be like. I'm telling mom and dad, they're watching the kids tonight. We're going to the ER. And thank God my husband, again, is very pushy when it comes to the ER, because every time I go, it's shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
And I had put a new maternity pad on, and I had put a towel down in our car. And of course, my husband's driving like 95 mile an hour there. As fast as this white Chevy Equinox was going, it was going. And by the time I had gotten to the ER, I had blood through everything, the towel, the pad, everything. And my husband gets in there, he starts ringing the doorbell, and I used to work with one of the nurses in there, and she thought, what an asshole. That's what she told me afterwards. She's like, what kind of asshole keeps ringing the doorbell? And they see Matt, and they're like, oh, hi, Matt. Like, we're regulars there. And by the time I had gotten wheeled into the ER, I had 3.1 liters of blood left in my body. And a lot of times, three, they don't even bother. Usually, if you come in with three, you're a goner. And Matt, I feel bad for calling her out, but her name is Tracy, and she was sweating so bad the whole time. That's the only thing I really remember. And they were asking, like, they told them, like, they had to try everything to get an IV started because I had very little blood.
No veins.
Yeah, and so the doctor's trying to draw bloods, and thank God I just had a baby, so I know my blood type.
Yeah.
And so I was able, they were able to get blood started. And so it was Dr. Deuce this time. And my husband is very good at remaining calm in high stress situations.
Well, he's had experience at it.
Yeah. He walked out of the room because obviously it's jam packed in there because everyone's trying to help you. And Matt said, he's like, I knew it was bad whenever they left a guy having a heart attack to help you. And then they put another central line in to get more blood in quicker, and I was careful. I did out again, out to Miami Valley this time.
Well, you would do anything for a helicopter ride, wouldn't
I know.
You?
I keep them in business.
You do?
Did you know, and this is off topic, not with helicopters, but there is an Uber for helicopters.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That'd be sweet.
Yes.
I already had two rides. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. So was this connected in any way to your previous?
No. They had a small portion of my placenta had been retained. I was passing clots bigger than a softball at that time, and I know this is really gross to say out loud, but
it's interesting.
My husband was like, this was deja vu all over again. He said, the doctor came in again and told him, said, your wife's very sick. We have to get her out. And there was a guy that had heart problems there, and there was a storm coming in that night, and the doctor held the squad that was already there to make sure I got out. And if a heart attack is a pretty serious thing. And for to hold the squad just for that, that's pretty serious. And my husband learned the first time that we call our parents right away.
Mm-hmm.
And if Matt's mom and dad weren't at our house, I wouldn't be sitting here today. Like,
if you would have had to have waited that
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here today. I know deep down I would not be. I remember one time they asked me to lay back because they were going to do whatever they have to do in that ER room. And they called out 40 over 20 was my blood pressure. And I just about passed out. And then Matt walked in the room. And I had a cousin pass away after childbirth from Indiana. And she was very young. She was, I don't know, 25, 26. And Perry knows her. And she was such a healthy, young, beautiful girl.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just the way life goes, I guess.
Yeah.
And Matt walked in the room. And I thought, he can't do this by himself. I mean, one baby is hard, and now you have a toddler and a baby. He needs me. And then my blood pressure started rising. And I don't know if I just, like, freaked myself out or the blood was just getting in fast enough at that time. I was very lucky that Matt's parents were there. I'm very, very lucky.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about, during everything that you've been through, talk to me about your faith or that process as far as somebody watching over you to a certain extent.
Well, everybody has those times where you ask, why did you pick me? Like, and now, like, looking back, I wouldn't choose anybody else I know. Like, I would choose me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I had to watch my husband sit at home every day with one leg and everybody else is doing all that stuff, how sad would he be? And I just have that personality that it's really okay. I mean, you don't need two legs to go through life. Like, yeah. Let's just say that. You don't need. Yeah. But I have, when I was in the hospital, I had friends that had babies early and they were sick, and I would still pray for them over me because, I mean, they needed it. Yeah. I was getting through the woods, and he had made me strong enough to endure what he had given me. I mean, once, twice, three times, whatever, I'll still make it through.
Yeah.
But every night I pray like 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys, and then I pick people out that need it. Like, my sisters just had a baby, both of them. And right as they get close to their due date, I would just pray every night, because they'd call me with their worries and they'd call me with their triumphs, and you'd be excited for them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it says a lot about Josie, too. You know, I mean, just about type of you know, person that you are. So, you know, when you mention, like, your work and Matt's work,
mm-hmm.
Give me some insight, because you know what? I mean, you said Matt worked at J&M.
Yeah, at the time.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he missed one day with you.
Yeah. J&M was great. Like, if they hadn't had their slow time, my husband would probably still be working there, because I couldn't have asked for a better company that understood our situation.
Yeah.
They gave Matt a voluntary layoff, and so he could come in as he needed. Like, if he needed 4 hours in the morning just to do something without having to think about all our problems else, they allowed him to do that. And it was really nice that, and they have great insurance.
Yeah.
But they were so understanding with everything that went on. And for them to lend a house to one of their employees is great.
Yeah.
And I still work at Mercer Health, but I worked at Mercer Health at the time. And you're allowed to donate vacation, because I was a new employee at that time. I've only had worked there a little under a year.
Oh, my.
And so I had no sick time or vacation time build up. And I had received so many donations that they had to put a cap on it. And I was off work for 6 months. And I had only I only missed two paychecks.
Wow.
Because the people at Mercer Health had that big of hearts.
Chuck, cut that up, because that's probably the best plug that anyone could give for a commercial for J&M or Mercer Health right there.
Yeah.
We had a question, Sam Kanapke. She asked, as an occupational therapist, a therapy assistant in an actual rehab unit, I would like to hear about your rehab.
So after I went to Ohio State, I was transferred to Lima Memorial, or St. Rita, sorry. And I was on the rehab unit there. And by the way, on my transfer over, it was an aspiring rapper was in the back seat. Back in, I cannot count how many of his songs I listened to, because he was so excited about it. Someone actually young enough to listen. But I did so I was there for about a week and a half to 2 weeks. They, in their unit, they have like a car, and they have like a church. So they make you practice getting up and down hills. And of course, a walker was brand new to me. And my right hand, I call it my crappy hand, and OT at community health professional, or community sports and therapy in Coldwater, will agree that I've said that about 100 times.
Yeah.
And I had a platform on my walker because I could not use this hand. So I was able to practice a lot of things there. A lot of the people there were older, so I'd eat my hot dog at lunch with these older people, and you'd hear all of them. My favorite is a lady. She's like, I was at Burger King getting my Burger King sandwich, and I fell off the curve, and now I'm here. And she said it every day. But I had 10 months of actual therapy at the hospital in Coldwater, and I had home health therapy for about 2 months. My arm was, I called it the claw, is what I called it. When I first got home, it was like a 90 degree angle, and my hand was a claw. So they would come out 3 or 4 times a week, and they would just stretch it. Like, this, at one time, this was all the farther I could stretch, like a 90 degree angle was all the farther I could move my arm. And so I had a lot of therapy. It was forever, and I had a little over a year of therapy for my prosthetic and walking with a walker. And I do have a prosthetic. It's just an easier time in my life right now. I'm on the ground about 90% of the day with two kids. I wear it to like weddings and stuff like that. But I couldn't say better things about the rehab department at Mercer Health. They're so nice. Like, I brought donuts in my last day, but they would try to rub out like my, they guess that there's so much scar tissue on my tendons that's why I couldn't move my fingers. I couldn't write. I became a left-hander for I don't know how long.
Wow.
And so they work with you. I mean, some days you're like, stop pulling.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I mean, now I write right-handed again, and
oh, that's cool.
I use both hands, like, and it's not the prettiest hand, but we'll take it over now.
We'll take it.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, did you get like skin graft or? Yeah. Okay.
The skin graft, but all my skin graft came from my thigh.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. So, I tell you what, I want to come back and talk about lessons learned and kind of what's the biggest challenges right now that you face on a day-to-day basis. But let's come right back after this. We'll be back with more insight. Jack and Perry.
And Josie.
And Josie.
And Josie.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs. And good luck to the Fort Recovery Indians as you continue making your community proud.
Katie Judy here, 3-year veteran of the Mad Run. On May 20th, you can watch or join the fun of this obstacle course. It will start at Fort Recovery Ambassador Park. Volunteers are always welcome, and registration fees only increase the longer you wait. It is $65 the day of. I hope I can see a great turnout at the 2017 Mad Run down at the Ambassador Park. I'll be drenched in mud.
Are we back? Is that what that means? Okay. We're back inside with Josie.
And Perry.
And Perry.
And Jack.
There you go. You know what? I think it works better like that if I'm last. So let's talk about some things that you've learned in the so this happened in April of
2015. Yep.
Okay. What did you learn about yourself?
Losing your leg isn't hard. It's when you come home and your kid doesn't know who you are. Like from 10 to 12 months. I mean, that's a long time for a little boy to be away from his mom. And when I came home, he didn't know who I was. He wouldn't come to me. And that broke my heart more than having one leg.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. And my husband would go buy M&M's and let me keep a bowl by my recliner so that he would come to me for M&M's. At least he'd come to me for that. And after he'd start coming to me for that, I started bribing him into saying, "Mom." And then our bond grew from there. But
I'm sure.
Having family not know who you are is a lot harder than any physical disability. And I have, you know, just through stories you hear on Facebook and the news, and I've learned that I'd take a physical disability and still be Josie.
Yeah.
Than a mental disability and still have two legs.
Yeah.
And I've also learned that hard work goes a long way. A long, long way. Like, a lot of people have come up to me and they said, I'd still be in a hospital or I'd still be at home. And I was pretty determined to go back to work after 6 months. I mean, there's only much home I could stay at home with. And I mean, I love my kids and I could be around them all day, but it's really hard whenever you're in a seat.
Yeah.
And Jake wants to run around. And at first I could only do about an hour. My husband would feed calves and have to come back and get Jake.
Yeah.
And I also learned how bullheaded I am. Yeah. I remember my husband used to have to drive me to my therapy because I couldn't drive. I mean, right away, and I got tired of having to wait for him to drive me, and I felt guilty asking him. And I know he would do anything for me.
Sure.
And it's just me feeling guilty because he's out doing stuff and he has to stop for an hour to bring me to therapy. So the first time I'm like, I'll do it. We did this in home health. I can put my walker in the passenger seat. Let me show you.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, okay, but when you get there, make sure you ask for help. Make sure they come out and help you with your walker. I'm like, okay. Okay, and I get, no, I'm not going to ask for help.
Yeah, like, all right, yeah.
And he's like, okay, you better. And I'm like, no, I'm good. But I've also learned to check my pride at the door. I mean, there's a lot of things that Matt had to help me with that I would have never expected him to do in his short life here on Earth so far. And he's just such a manly man that, I mean, I'd never guessed that he would do it, but he loved you so much that he'd do it. I mean, he changed my dressing, and he's no doctor. I mean,
yeah.
I have to force him to go to the doctor when he's very sick. I have to force him to put a Band-Aid on. And for him to change my dressing for 2 months without having one complaint, I mean, it's embarrassing. On your side, you're just laying there and having someone do that for you. It's something different if a nurse is, because, I mean, that's their job.
That's their job, yeah.
But to ask of your spouse to do some of the dirty work and him not even bat of an eye, I mean, you're still embarrassed, but you know you wouldn't want anybody else to help you.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate that, but check your pride at the door is probably my biggest. People have seen me at my lows.
You know, as a dad, I can't imagine, you know, your job as a dad is to take care of your kids, is mm-hmm. to take care of that little girl of yours. And I can't imagine what your dad was feeling.
My parents, at the time, I'd only been married about 2 years. I mean, little under is when I lost my leg, and it was really hard for my parents to give all that medical decision making to my husband.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, especially I'm the baby, and it's not like, and so they were so used to, so it was really hard to let Matt make the decisions, but I mean, I never seen a tear fall from my dad's eyes in front of me. I mean, I knew it was ugly there at first, and they got it together for me to make me not feel scared. I mean, I didn't even see my husband or my mom cry. Yeah. And I know it got ugly there, and I've heard stories about how Matt just had to walk around by himself because there's only so much sadness you can take.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for them because I was their athletic kid. No offense to my sisters and my brother.
I'm sure we'll be hearing that on the Facebook Live.
I'm going to get a text message here in a second.
Yeah.
But I was their always run around, always doing stuff. Always, let's run here for AAU, let's run here for that. And now it's come to a halt. But my parents jump at every opportunity to do stuff with me now. I mean, they did it too when I was younger and before I got married. And I'll ask my dad to go to a prosthetic appointment with me, and he'd drop everything. It'd be the middle of farming season. He would drop everything to be there. And he's, and the same look he has, like when I scored a winning shot, is the same look he has now when I walk with my prosthetic. Like, he's so proud.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change that for the world. I mean, I like those looks.
Of course. I want to talk about, like, you know, just the support that people had, especially right when it happened, you know. We were talking before about how this kind of happened around our fifth year, you know, graduation reunion party, whatever, at Rossburg. And we were all kind of wondering, like, you know, is Josie going to be there? Is she not? And, you know, we were all hoping you would be, but we totally understood if you didn't. And you eventually, you know, you didn't. And we all get it. But, you know, even people came to your house and, like, were just, you know, give, like, you know, like, well, you know, we kind of felt bad, you know, when we were here. So they would come and, you know.
They brought me leftover food. It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't not ask for a better community to have grown up in. I mean, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And some people will talk about how that's a bad thing, and that's a great thing.
Oh, I absolutely.
Mean, you might have not known me, like, personally. You might not have been in the same grade as me, but you know who Josie Guggenbiller was. I mean, you heard about him, and you've seen them on the basketball court, and and even not just for recovery. Like, I am a new member of St. Henry. I live in Wendoline, and
I won't hold that against you.
If anybody saw the box of cards I have from when I was in the hospital, you would be amazed. Amazed.
Yeah.
And I have so many friends that I've kept from high school, and they all come up to visit me, and they give me this giant candy board. And, of course, you're not hungry because you have a feeding tube in, and they're forcing you to eat. And, but I could not ask for a better community. And,
you know, even, like, was that 2 years ago for that baseball game?
Oh my gosh.
The Coldwater for recovery. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And half of the proceeds were, you know, going to you.
Yeah.
And that, like, that was one of the coolest things. One, because, you know, it was a huge game between, like, number one state ranked. We won, which is kind of cool. But even more than that, the bigger thing was that they were helping you and that other family. I'm not, I can't remember, but, you know, thank God, you know, that helped them too. But, you know, that's just great.
I'm very fortunate that people care. That's it. People care. They understand other one's situation. And the amount of money that we got to go in towards my prosthetic is insane. Like, my prosthetic cost $90,000.
Wow.
And we did get a big chunk of that through people having a big heart and medical bills. Total, it was $3 million just to lose my leg. And thank God we had great insurance through Jano. I mean, we did not pay $3 million out of pocket, but the total amount was $3 million. And I wish I'd brought my box of cards, because you guys would, like, fall over, because I have kept every single one.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
So, you know, you talked about being a bullhead, okay? But, you know, to me, it's there's so much of determining the outcome of things based off of the attitude that you have going in. Okay. Talk a little bit more about your attitude, Matt's attitude, because that had to play a big factor in you being able to sit here and talk to us today.
Yeah, I've joined this amputee website, or it's on Facebook. It's a group, it's the Amputee Coalition of America, and I have developed some friends off of that. And her name's Emily Clayton, and she had posted on there that living after surviving is even much sweeter. And I could not put it more perfect than that. And being able to, I would, if I had two legs yet, I would not be here. And I would take one leg any day to watch my kids grow up. And so if you're down on yourself, I mean, everybody has their sad moments. I mean, like, I lost a leg. Like,
yeah.
You're going to be sad. But I guess I've never had a really low point. Like, I've never been in the house for a week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let this define me. I mean, I get my fair share of stares, and I get my fair share of question asks. I mean, about every time I go camping, a little kid asks me, what happened to your leg? And one time my husband told him she didn't eat your green beans. And the little kid runs back to his mom, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
But my husband, like I said, he is such... he don't take no for an answer. I mean, I could tell you, I'm like, my leg just hurts today. And he says, well, he expects me to be a mom. And I expect that of myself.
Yeah.
And I expect that to be a wife. Every night I cook dinner and I fold laundry and I go grocery store. And I do everything that someone with two legs would do. I mean, I might use this cart, the scooter thing at the grocery store. If you ever see someone driving around, she looks too young, it's probably me. But I still get the grocery shopping done, and I just check my pride at the door. I mean, do I want to be using that at 25? No. But I have to do that for my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, your family makes you bullheaded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and pride makes you bullheaded.
Yeah.
And... The pride that, you know, you're taking, having the pride that you want to do things yourself, and you want to see that look in your dad's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it means a lot.
I'm proud of myself that, like, you asked me to be here. If I would have stayed at home and fell myself into a hole, I mean, who wants to hear that story? Like,
yeah.
And then I also, last year I got asked to talk to 4 Recovery Middle School about my situation, and this year I got asked to talk to St. Henry Middle School. So, I mean, I must be doing something right if people think I'm doing okay. I mean, I must not... I couldn't imagine crawling into a hole just because of this situation.
I tell you what, like, just looking through, you know, all these Facebook Live messages, I've even got a couple, you know, texts and stuff, but everyone is just so inspired by, you know, you just, like you said, just being here and, you know, getting up in the morning, just, you know, doing all this stuff. And I mean, that's just really cool. All of that. I mean, it takes a strong person to be able to go through all that and still come out, you know, in a way even stronger.
That's what 4 Recovery does to people.
Yeah.
Like, they raise strong people here. I mean, you're going to L.A. And, you know, weak-minded people don't do that. And they give you the confidence. They instill that in you in such a young age here that you can do anything.
And I'll tell you what, that's also what a mom and dad does to you.
They do, yeah.
You know.
I'm so blessed my kids get to grow up on a farm. The other day they were taking duels off a tractor, and Jake had no idea what was going on, and they drive the tractor forward, and this tire comes off, and Jake's like, stop, there's a tire off. And Matt's like, I thought about putting the tire back on just to watch him do it again. And Jake has, and obviously I would not want one leg for anybody, but Jake has learned so much hard work. If he drags a wagon out to the calf barn, he gets to drag it back. Because mom can't do it. Yeah. Mom cannot help you. And so when Jake tells me, I can't do it, mom, I'm like, try again. And he tries again.
Yeah.
And that is one benefit I have found off of losing my leg, is that my kids have learned that get up and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they've watched their mom do it, and they just know that they can't always have help in life.
Yeah. Kind of switching like a little bit of gears here. So we were talking about prosthetics and stuff. Do you look at all the like crazy prosthetics that are just, you know,
out of this world?
Out of this world. And you know, maybe we're gonna laugh at some of these things that people are making 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you look at that stuff and think, you know, that I could possibly have something like that soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you obviously look into all the research, and my prosthetic is the highest level civilian prosthetic that a person could get. When I went in the prosthetic company for the first time, by the way, I go to Optimus Prosthetics in Dayton. They came to visit me while I was at Ohio State. They came to visit me when I was at St. Rita's. And then they send people who are amputees. They know what you're feeling. They don't just send an able-bodied person and say, I get it.
Yeah, they don't just send in, like, you know, salesmen in a way. Yeah.
And I told them when the first time I went in, I said, I have a toddler at home, and I need to keep up. And they were able to do that for me. And so, without having a hip, it's really hard to bend everything. So the knee just tells when you're walking. Like, you put so much weight on it, it bends. And if I wore pants, you wouldn't be able to tell that I had a prosthetic on.
Hmm.
Because it looks that legit.
That's cool.
And it took a lot of therapy to get to that point. I mean,
I can imagine.
There was some limping days, and I was like, and my goal, but by my 1 year mark, was to be walking without assistant, be able to walk. I still walk with a crutch because it's just easier.
Yeah.
But I was able to do that thanks to all my therapists.
That's awesome.
That was a high note for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I think the word that you used was that this wasn't going to define you.
Exactly.
You know, and now you are, you, Josie, a mother of two, you nominated for, you know, some award through your work.
Hospital Association Employee of the Year.
You know, and there are so many things that your wife, mom, churchgoer, employee, the whole leg thing is just, I mean, that's just something you got to tolerate.
Yeah, kind I mean, of. It's doable. I mean, it's very doable. I couldn't, but beforehand, I was playing like 15 sports, and I can't just stop all of like my activities because I have one leg. I mean, and I have no problem not wearing my prosthetic because the people who see me know. It's not like they're going to be like, that girl's using a walker. And they don't care. Yeah. I mean, they care that you lost a leg. They care that that situation happened. But they still see me as Josie. They're not going to not come up and talk to me because I have one leg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially people I see out of, like, high school. Like, Terry came in here and talked like it was 2010 again.
Yeah. It was...
He didn't look down and be like, you got one leg, so let me talk different.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm sure, as you mentioned, when you go through what you've gone through, it would be easy to feel sorry for yourself. But at the same time, you can look around you and think, there's a lot of people that are carrying their own burdens to a certain extent. So, you know, for those people that are facing what they perceive as tremendous challenges, what piece of advice would you give them for making the most of it?
So everybody has their own like situations going on in their lives, and I would hate for them to look at me and be like, well, mine's not as bad. And mine might be a 10 for me. That doesn't make it a 10 for you. So say your child was born early and they're going through the NICU, and just because I have one leg doesn't mean that your situation's any less. So you can rate that to a 10. It's okay. But just know that the pain goes down. Yeah. It goes away. And once that baby in the NICU comes out and you get to hold it for the first time, even in the NICU or something like that, that pain decreases. And at one point, this was a 10 for me. And now it's like a 3. Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's okay to have problems. It's okay to feel sad, but just know that the pain will get easier and you can lean on people. I mean, that does not make you a weaker person. I mean, the amount of conversations I've had with my husband and I feel bad sometimes. I ask him to talk about those 2 weeks, and I know it was not Matt's strongest time, but I didn't expect him to be strong. His parents didn't expect him to be strong. His best friend didn't expect him to be strong. They were strong for us, and I could not. I just, the friends and the family, and my mom would spend the night in the house with my husband, and in separate rooms and everything, but just because she knew Matt needed someone there. I mean, she could have went home with my dad and everything would have been fine, and Matt's mom and dad would have stayed up there too, but I didn't expect them to. And you know, it's crazy to say this, but I knew how much Matt loved me. Like, Matt is a perfectionist when it comes to his calves. Like, they are all going to live and they're all going to be full. And even that was before I lost my leg. And with our cows being sick at that time, Matt's mom and dad took over all the burden of taking care of these sick calves. And Matt had called, and I had just come out of a big surgery, and Matt's dad had called Matt and said, "What do I do?" And Matt said, "Just let him die because I have bigger problems." And he loves his calves. Like, I tell him this like every day. I'm like, "Well, you should have been in the house earlier, but you're out the calf barn." But yeah, you find the way people love you is, it might not be saying "I love you" and it might not be right there all the time, but it's okay for you to lean on them if you're facing a burden at this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't be ashamed. Don't check your pride at the door. You're still, they're proud of you. Yeah. Like my dad, I might have one leg, but he is so proud of me to walk in a prosthetic. He's so proud of me of watching me play with my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't ask for a better support system. Mm.
Absolutely. You know, just talking about the, you know, just what used to be a 10 is now a 3, you know, you know, my situation, but my mom always told me that it's just a new normal.
Yep.
You know, it's just split off into a different direction than what you thought. And that's probably what it is for you too.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't expect at 25, you know, not having
a leg.
You know, having only one leg and all this, but it's a new normal, and it's, you know, it's normal for you now, and you're just,
I'm good at it. Like, if anybody wants a walker race, bring it on.
Yeah, you're a professional. Like,
Ricky Ports, if you want a walker race, bring it on.
You brought up like races and stuff, and I was, and kind of with the prosthetic thing, like, and you said you like to run, you know, I do. Even before that. And ever see those, like, you know, those running prosthetics, you know, with that little, like, little thing?
Yep.
Do you ever, like, do you have one? You don't have one of those,
no. Because my amputation is just so high. But when I went in that first appointment, I told them I like to run and I want to continue. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, you won't run, but we could probably do a slow jog."
Yeah.
I'll take a slow jog.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, just kind of what we were talking about before with how fast technology is moving.
I know.
You know, 10 years, we're going to be like, "Hey, remember what we were talking about not being able to do that? Oh, yeah, now we can totally do that, and it's, like, totally cheap." You know, maybe that might be a thing, you know?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. And kind of around that, what kind of, like, goals do you have, like, right now for the future that you want to do? If you have any at all. I mean...
Yeah. I obviously want to expand my family and all the normal goals of a young mother, and I want to expand my career, and my goal is to be seen as Josie. I don't want anybody to see me as the girl with one leg, and that has been my goal since I lost my leg, is I don't want anybody to see me besides Josie.
And I think you're doing a fantastic job. Just like what we talked about when I came in here. It's like, "Hey, it's Josie." You know? Maybe with a little less leg, but still, it's still...
Save on shave time.
Exactly.
But when you talk about new normals, you appreciate, like, there's things I miss. Like, I miss picking my kids up in the middle of the room. I miss standing in the shower. Like, sitting down to shower all the time it's just, when I have to stand up, like, just to stand up just because I want to, I'm like, this is the bomb. And you miss little things that people with two legs, they take for granted. Like people who hurt themselves just to make themselves feel better, or those who feel bad for themselves and they'd rather stay in bed all day. And I know, and some people, they bring that on themselves. And I just want to be like, then give me your good leg. If you're not going to use it. Because they take it for granted. And I would do anything to pick my kids up in the middle of the room and not feel like, oh my God, I'm going to drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I missed that. Like, the picture that was shown on, like, when I first lost my leg, it was me and my son. And that was the last time I picked someone up in the middle of the room.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I went to the St. Patrick's Day, in St. Henry, the parade.
Yep.
And that was my last picture with two legs. And like, you look back at that and you're like, why didn't I do more with this? Or I told my husband, like, if I knew I was going to lose my leg at 23, I would have done way more stupid stuff. You know, you would have lived a little more than you already did.
Well, you are 25 years old.
Yeah.
And you have much to look forward to, much to prove. This whole one leg thing, playing that card that you say that you never have to. But I have no doubt that just like any 25-year-old, you're just starting to scratch the surface.
Yeah. You know? I'm still super mom.
Oh yeah.
I mean, my kids don't see me any different, and that's my number one goal.
That's awesome. Well, so I tell you what, let's take one more commercial break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. This has been just enlightening as hell. And fantastic. I really, really...
the goal wasn't to be too boring.
Oh, my God. You beat the crap out of that one right there.
So we will be right back after these words.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice a potato and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
What's better than having a locally family-owned store in your neighborhood? How about one that has great hometown traditional service with a modern new feel? Wayne Street Market is now the name of your local downtown store that gives you fresh, friendly, and convenient shopping. Formerly Wayne IGA, we are excited to announce our grand reopening with a new name and a facelift. We have improved our product selection and are continuing to make this your one-stop shop close to home. Check us out online at www.waynestreetmarket.com for all your grand reopening specials all month long.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Rocker live every weekday morning on Breakfast with Bill.
I can't be here tomorrow.
What?
You want Bubba or Jack? Is that what you want to work?
We don't. Yeah.
So this will be a peaceful show tomorrow then.
What do you mean it'll be peaceful?
Huh?
You'll get work. You're saying you'll be able to talk a little bit more?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I don't peaceful. Think so.
There's no way.
What do you mean? A lot of inside voices tomorrow. I don't have the list in front of me there, Sunshine.
You absolutely kill me.
He does kill us. That's why I'm here.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler.
Barry Hall.
And Josie Wendell.
And we are, I tell you what, I've probably done 30 of these shows, you know, and I've talked to businessmen and athletes, and nobody has inspired me, and nobody has impressed me more than what you have.
Thanks.
it is, you know, you, and this is going to sound sexist to a certain, you expect strength and determination and drive from those football players or from this group, you know, when you look at a 25-year-old mom and you see more of all of those things than you've ever seen in anybody else, it is breathtaking. It really is.
That's an awesome compliment. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So I tell you what, going forward, what's your biggest challenges?
Getting over the stairs. I took a new position at Mercer Health for full time, and it's down where you see a lot more patients. And when I was being interviewed, they asked me what was my biggest fear, and it's answering all the questions to people who don't know you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you develop a short story, obviously, and you go on about their day because they're the important person. They're obviously a reason why they're here at this hospital. And but it's the stairs. I don't know. I've gotten better at looking people in the eye when I walk down the street. At first, I'd always look down.
Yeah.
Because you knew what they were looking at. You know. I mean, it's natural. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I had two legs and Perry had one and I seen him walking down the street, of course you'd take a glance.
Yeah.
It's just part of human nature. But it's really hard to get past because, you know, like today I was walking through the lobby at work and this little girl was yelling to her mom, "That girl has one leg." And I'm like, I knew that they were going to say it. I'm okay with people looking. I mean, it's not like they're judging me for it.
Sure.
But you still feel like, don't say that, you know? But that's my biggest obstacle is to look people in the eye when I walk down the street and think, it's okay that they're looking at my leg. It's just part of the gig.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it means anything or not, but I have no doubt that the way that you and Matt are raising your two new little ones is that you are preparing them to be as strong and as bullheaded and as determined as what you two are.
Jake is well on his way. He's the boss. And anywhere he goes, it doesn't matter if it's a new friend or an old friend, he's the boss. And that is a fear of mine, is that people will, you know, kids can be mean. Sure. And I'm afraid people will make fun of him, or Maya, that if their mom has one leg. And so when Jake asked me that, or if my nephew or niece asked me that, I'm like, well, why do you have two? And they say, I don't know. And I'm like, exactly. I mean, everybody's different. Or I ask, or my favorite is that her name's Riley. She's my niece, and she's the cutest little girl ever. She's in preschool now, and she'll be like, you have one leg. And I'll be like, I had two when I get here. Did you take it? And she's like, no, not me. But it just shows them that, I mean, is there a reason why I have one leg? Not really. I mean, it's just the way the world works and the way that God planned it. And but is there a reason why you were born with two? That's just the way the world worked and God planned it. I mean, there's really no explaining it. So Jake, I think he will be fine. He will defend his stance. Mom has a tail till the day he understands.
So in the closing, any final words that you'd like to share? We've touched on a lot of stuff, but how would you like to wrap things up?
I would just like to wrap it up that it's okay to have 10 days. Like, it's okay to have a bad day. I mean, everybody has them. Everybody feels sorry for themselves. But just remember that the pain goes away and you'll be back down to a 1 or a 2 or a 3 someday. And I just want to share a story that when I was in the ICU, my sister got married in August of 15, and I had got home in June, like the very beginning of June. So it was definitely, I was going to walk down that aisle as a maid of honor. And beforehand, I had told her that, I told her fiance had come in with her, because you're only allowed two people in the ICU at the time. And I was like, she's pregnant. And Jenny's like, what? Like, it's Augustus, that's his name. And Jenny will not let me forget that until today. She's like, well, you're telling everybody I was pregnant. And I'm like, I don't know what, I don't even remember saying that. But she just had a little boy in February or March. It was March. And I told him, like, you need to name it Augustus. So, I mean, you can make fun out of bad situations. I mean, the wounds will never heal. Let's be honest. I mean, they will, there'll still be a little bit opening, even though it might be close to being closed. And you can poke fun at it. It's not going to tear it open. Yeah. I mean, you got to enjoy what you have now. I mean, my husband always says I age him 10 years every time I go to the ER.
So well, stay away from there.
I know. I'm keeping the care flight business in business. Yeah. But like now I poke fun at it. I mean, he doesn't take it personally. I don't take it personally. And if I don't make fun out of it, it's going to drag me down. Like it is a heavy subject and it'll forever be hard to explain. But if I don't make people smile when they talk to me, then I like to make people smile. And I know I have a friend, her name's Shelby Vaughn, and we would go out to El Camino even after I lost my leg. It was just me in the rain, and we'd always do that. And the first day, the very first trip after I lost my leg, and I told her, my guy, I put my application in at IHOP. And it's a very cheesy joke. I know. I get it. And she's like, my dad said I couldn't believe you said that. And I'm like, well, if... I mean, I hop. That's literally what I do, and I'm good at it. So, I mean, your tens will go down to threes, and you'll look back and think, it was hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I totally agree with you. Like, you have to make light of it. You know, that's just a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I do all the time, so, like, with my situation. Yeah, so
It makes you remember the good, like, not every day in the hospital was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I made a friend, I'm still friends with her today. She asked for some Josie Strong shirts after they came out, and she's a great person, and I'm so glad to get to know her. She got to know the Stoglers when that Max Stogler was, and they had the same nurse, and she had messaged me about them, and the Stoglers are such a great family and such a strong family, and I got the honor of knowing such a caregiver that cared for other people. And I had good days. Like, I asked for a foot massage and they did it. It was kind of awesome. And so, and not every day was ugly.
Yeah.
Well, and you learn that there's an awful lot of really good people out there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know.
Mercer County is the bomb. Like, it is. I could not, I'm so fortunate that I live here and I make this a reality. It's not just talk on a radio show. It's reality. It's amazing to see every day, everybody's situation.
Well, Josie, if there's one common thread to most of the comments that are on Facebook, it is plain and simple that you are an inspiration. And thanks for taking the time to come up. It was everything that I hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks Absolutely. For inviting me. I'm very honored.
Well, thanks for coming up. So, for Jack Stogler and
Perry Hall
and Josie Wendell,
this is Insight. We will see you next Wednesday.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.